Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. Holy Spirit, we just ask you to have your way this morning. Continue to fall like rain. God, we know that nothing that is done here matters if your presence is not in our midst. And God, I pray that each and every one of us would never lose the wonder. And maybe we're sitting here this morning and some of that wonder's gone, some of that awe is gone. God, I pray that you would reignite a fire inside of us to serve you, to love you, to worship you. God, there's so many things that we could be looking at, and today we just turn our attention and our focus on you. God, we just ask you to meet us here in this place. We love you and we thank you for who you are and for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well today? Tech guys in the back making it sound beautiful. Wow, what a great time of worship. Sometimes there's some Sundays when I wish that I just don't want to get up here and preach. I just want to keep worshiping and don't say amen to that. But there's just some Sundays that I really enjoy the worship time, and thank you guys so much for using your gifts. If this is one of your first times, just want to echo what Pastor Stephen said. Thank you for being here, and we're so grateful that each and every one of you are here with us together. I think the theme of connection, I didn't talk to these guys as they were preparing what they were going to talk about, but God just put this connection theme on my heart today, because I think whether you're talking about Haiti or whether you're talking about getting some land for the church, or you're talking about just connecting with a local body of Christ, connection is key, right? One of the reasons why people come back to church is because they felt a connection there, connection with the Holy Spirit, connection with a friend, a neighbor, somebody invited them. Connection is a really, really big deal. And usually you pick a church or you pick something that you enjoy because you felt connected. And so there's a lot of ways that we try to give you to connect. And today, the first Sunday of every month, we have something called The Loop. And it's just a short little class right after the service just for you to get more information, for you to connect with our staff and some other people in the church. And you can go today. Even if you didn't sign up, you can make that happen. We have the tent out front. Our staff and some of our key leaders will be out there, and you can connect there. Or if you're just kind of a quiet person, you can go online and get all the information on there. All right? And so we'd love to connect with you in a way. Are y'all all right this morning? Does the rain got everybody calmed, hit down too much? Is everybody good? All right. I was screaming at my TV about 8:30 last night because the Kentucky Derby was on, and that's my people, right? I grew up across the street from Churchill Downs, and I saw my old house several times, and so I got a little energy this morning, so y'all got to help me out, all right? If you have your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're wrapping up our series today called First Things First. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at God's word and say, what does the Bible say about my finances? There are over 2,000 passages in God's word that hit on that topic. And so that means there's a lot of wisdom for us to gain from the Lord when it comes to our finances. And here's what I truly, truly believe, that you cannot get away from the fact that God wants his church to be a generous people. God wants us as his church, as his people, to be generous to this world that we go and live in every day. Now, what I want to do today is I want to strive to help our motivation for being generous to stay pure, right? Because sometimes we can get into the, oh, I have to do this, I have to give, or, oh, here they go again talking about money. I don't ever want you to feel like, oh, I got to do this. I want us to get to this place as, wait a minute, I get to do this. I get to go to Haiti. I get to sponsor a kid. I get to help, you know, build the future or whatever that is. And I want us to get to that place where we're so excited to watch what God does with our generosity. And so I want to show you what that really looks like today in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let me give you a little bit of context. Some of you in here, you like to study and you like to get some context. So there's a lot going on when we pick up here in chapter number 8. There's a real crisis going on in Jerusalem. Okay, there was a famine going on. There was a lot of struggling. There was persecution going on. Just a lot of economic pressure was happening in this time. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, he planted a ton of churches. Paul, when we get to chapter 8, he's literally trying to take an offering. All right, we're going to do that here in just a few minutes. And Paul is trying to take up an offering to help one of the churches get through the struggling time. All right, so when Paul writes this letter, this is a letter written to the church, and he's trying to get them to finish something that they started. All right, so the church here in Corinth had previously committed to give, but they didn't follow through. Like, they had good intentions, they had good aspirations, but for whatever reason, it didn't happen. Any of you guys ever been like that? Man, I wanted to do that, I wanted to give, or I wanted to help that person, and I probably should have, but I just didn't do it. And so that's what's happening here in chapter 8. So Paul, what he's doing is he's circling back and he's going to the church again and he's saying, hey guys, we need you to complete your promise. We need you to step up. Now, here's where things get really interesting, and here's what we're going to look at today. As Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth to do this, he's using another church as an example. And the church he uses as an example is from a place called Macedonia. And guess what? Macedonia was one of the poorest places there was. And so he's taking an example of the poorest church, and he's saying, hey, let me tell you about them. Let me show you what they did. And he's trying to inspire a church that had more, a church that had more people, had more resources to give, just like the church that was poor. All right, and so that's where we're going to pick up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let me invite you to stand with me in the honor of the reading of God's word. Hopefully you have your Bible or it can be there on your phone. We'll have it here on the screen if you don't have that and you can follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Watch what it says. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. As a matter of fact, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. Verse 5, they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. Verse 7, but since you excel in everything, he's telling the church, man, you guys are good at a lot of things, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled in you. See that you also excel in this grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here's the judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year you were in the first, not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Two more verses. Now finish the work, Paul says, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray that each and every one of us would be able to walk out of here with a message, with a challenge, with something that you lay on our hearts to live out this generosity that you've called us to live. And Lord, just use this next few moments in our lives to challenge us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I want to take just a few minutes to break this down. If you're a note taker, or even if you're not, I want to encourage you today to write something down that maybe God wants to plant in your heart that you can take with you throughout this week and let it marinate and meditate on it and spend some time and allow the Lord to use today. So let's go back to verse 1 here, and we'll walk through this. I want to share with you what Paul is really trying to get accomplished, and then I'm going to give you four things at the end, and we're going to be done. He says, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches." So Paul is simply telling the church, hey, listen up. The Macedonian church, they had grace. Now, what does that mean? Grace is unmerited favor, right? I don't deserve it, but it's something that I get. It is unmerited favor from God. And he's saying, listen, they were giving out of the grace in their heart. The grace that God gave the Macedonian church, they didn't have a lot, but they had grace. And they didn't have to do this, they wanted to do this. They wanted to be a very giving and generous church. And so he starts off with trying to just set the table. Hey, listen, this isn't something that they had to do, and he'll talk more about that here in a second. He says, in the midst, verse 2, in the midst of a very severe trial, look at this phrase here, their overflowing joy in the midst of a trial and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. So Paul's saying, hey, I want you guys to really get what's going on here. This church, these churches don't have as much as everybody else does. And they surprised Paul. They're like, look what's going on here. Through a severe trial, they were overflowing with joy and generosity. And here's what I love about this, all right? Their convictions trumped their circumstance. They were convicted that, hey, we need to be overflowing with joy. Even though there's a trial, even though we don't have very much, we're convicted that this is what we must do, right? And that's the way the Bible teaches you and I to live, but what do? We flip it, right? If my circumstances are good, I'll be generous. If as long as I don't have anything going on in my life that is more important, then I'll well up with joy and I'll have some rich generosity. Their convictions trumped their circumstances. And Paul wants the church to see this. Verse 3, he says, "For I testify, they gave as much as they were able," and look at this, "and even beyond their ability," "entirely on their own." I didn't make them do it. I didn't go to the church and say, you have to do this. He says, entirely on their own. And not only did they give more than they were able, watch this, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege in sharing in this service to the Lord's people. I love how Paul explains this. I didn't make them do this. They weren't threatened. They weren't begged. Oh, please, you got to give to God. No. Paul says they gave entirely on their own, and not only did they give, they pleaded with us to be able to give. Can you imagine? As I've been a pastor for 23 years, nobody's ever came and begged me to be able to give to the Lord, all right? Nobody's ever came and sat in my office or got me on the phone and be like, hey, I just need to serve. I need to do more. They did it beyond their ability, and they urgently pleaded. And because they did, look what Paul says in verse 5, and they exceeded our expectations. They exceeded our expectations. How did they do that, guys? I mean, they're poor. They have nothing. They're going through a trial. They're going through a famine. How in the world that going through hard times did they exceed everyone's expectations? How does that happen? Well, Paul answers it right here. Look what he says. And continue on in verse 5, he says, because they gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. You see what happened? They gave themselves first of all to the Lord. They were so in love with God that they first gave themselves to him. And that is the thing where you and I have to see. That's the start of us living a generous life. I first have to give myself to the Lord. And then everything else flows from that. There's an old quote by an old pastor. It says, if one first gives themselves to the Lord, all other giving is easy. If one first gives themselves to the Lord, then all other giving is easy. That's surrender language. That's not money. That's not behavior tweaks. It's saying, God, I'm so grateful that you gave your life for me. I'm going to give my life to you. And that's what matters most. And one thing that I've been trying to really press in on during this entire series is that the order matters more than the amount. Okay, we're talking about money, we're talking about finances, and we're talking about giving and doing all the things that God wants to do in his church and through City Hope Church. The order matters more than the amount. This church did not have much. They did not have a lot, but they had such a deep love for God that they said, you know what? That is going to be the thing that drives me to live a generous life. And you know what they did? They put first things first. They put first things first. It wasn't, if I can afford it later. It's no. Because of their love for God, they were able to give. Verse 7. Now here's where Paul is getting a little personal with the church. He says, since you excel in everything, he's telling the church there in Corinth, man, you guys are good. In your faith, in your speech, in your knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love you have kindled, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. Again, the grace of giving is not, it's not great, it's not giving that I have to do, it's something that I look forward to do. It's not something that I'm not just encouraged to do, I'm not commanded to do it. God is just saying, or I'm just saying, hey, I want to do this because of the grace that God's giving. And Paul says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Paul's language here is so good. Again, he says, I'm not commanding you to do this. And honestly, today and throughout this series that we've been in, it's not been my heart to command you to do anything. My heart has been, will you ask God to tell you what to do? Will you ask the Lord, will your love for him, would that compel you to go to him and say, all right, God, what does this look like for me and my family in the circumstances that I'm in today? Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So remember what happened. Jesus went first, right? Paul's saying, don't forget what Jesus did. That though he was rich, yet, now bring this in, for your sake he became poor. For my sake he became poor. So that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now this is the gospel, right? This points us right back to the gospel. Jesus said, I will leave heaven for you. I will step into poverty for you. I will step into sin for you. Why? So that you don't have to. That's the grace that Jesus gives for you and I. And the greatest example of love, the greatest example of generosity in the history of the world is that our God is being generous to us. And Jesus really did all of that for you, friend. It doesn't matter what your church association is. It doesn't matter why you're in this room this morning. Here's the message that every single one of us need to breathe in, that Jesus did all of that for me. All of it. All my baggage, all my hurts, all my struggles, all my stupid decisions, all the dumb things that I did yesterday, all the dumb things I'm going to do tomorrow. Jesus, for your sake, became poor so that you could be rich. And that's not talking about finances. And so none of this that we've been talking about for 4 weeks, none of this really matters until you've taken this step. None of this really matters until you get to the place where the Macedonians were, is that they first gave themselves to the Lord. If you've never given yourself over to the Lord, a realization, an acknowledgement, a belief, a surrender to him, if you've never done that, none of this matters. That must take place before any of this other stuff really begins to make sense in my life. And he did that for you and I. And I want to challenge you. I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service today. If you've never taken that step, take it today. All the songs we're singing, the things that we're doing, the stories about Haiti, the stories about, you know, God building this church, like none of it matters if you've never truly given your life to Jesus. Let's keep going. Verse 11. Paul says, now finish the work. Finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it. According to your means, For if the willingness is there, then the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Listen, God's looking for willingness. God's looking at your life to see, is there willingness? Not the amount, not how much can they give. God's looking for a cheerful giver, a willingness to say, you know what? I'll do that. I'll step into that gap. I'll jump in there. I'll help with that. I'll serve here. I'll love them here. I'll take that. God's looking for willingness. We see this all throughout the Bible. Over in the Old Testament, there's a passage of scripture in Exodus chapter 35, and I was, you know, studying and kind of looking back and forth to our story today and this story, and there's so many parallels here. Exodus 35, verse 21, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved. So that's what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to move your heart. That's why we've been doing this series. We've been trying to stir your heart to live in a generous way, right? And everyone who was willing and whose heart moved, them came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting. So everyone who was moved, everyone who was willing, back in this time in the Old Testament, they would come and they would bring whatever they had, whatever they felt like God was stirring in their heart to the church. And so I started thinking about that. Here's Paul writing to the Corinths. The Corinthians, and he's telling them, now listen, we're going to look at the Macedonian churches, the poor people. We're going to see how they live their lives. And Paul is trying to encourage this church by using this church. Well, how do we get like that? How do we become a church like the Macedonian church where we're so excited, we're willing, we're generous, we want to do this? Well, I again, you guys know me. I'm just very simple, right? I'm very simple-minded. I need things very, like, the smallest shelf, the lowest shelf is where I need it. I think if we're going to get to this place of how do we become a generous church like the Macedonian, well, we got to start with why. Why are they a generous church? Why are they living that way? Why is it that they're able to live in such a way that they're an example to all the churches who have way more than they do? We all know that giving is a good thing. We all know that helping somebody is a good thing, but why is it? Let me give you four reasons real quick why I think it's important for us to be a generous church and why I think God's word tells us it's important to be a generous church. Number one, because it's always more blessed to give than to receive. Why do I need to be generous? Why do I need to live my life? Why do I need to teach my kids to be generous? Because it's always, always, always more blessed to give than to receive. Doesn't it feel good to help somebody? Doesn't it feel good when you're able to, you know, you have a good waiter at a restaurant and you just give them a little extra tip and you see their face and they're just like, thank you so much. I mean, I don't know if you guys could tell when Brian was standing up here, you know what happened on that mission trip? That mission trip helped him a lot more than it helped those kids in Haiti. It's changed his life. He said life altering. And he went to give. He went to be generous. I can't tell you how many mission trips I've been on, and that's the case. We go and we spend a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, a month, and we're going to pour out and we're going to help, and absolutely God uses that, but we come back a changed person. Why? Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, that's not something that the church made up, right? That's straight from Jesus' mouth. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what Jesus said. And notice this. This is really cool. For those of you Bible nerds, that word blessed right there in the Greek, it has a very significant meaning. It means happy in the soul. Happy in the soul. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that like what we want to wake up and strive for every day is, man, I just want my soul to be joyful and to be happy. And God says, hey, it's right here. When you're on the giving end, it does something for your soul. It does something inside of you that creates a blessing. And that's why we encourage you to be generous. That's why I encourage you as your pastor to be generous, not only with God's church, but with the world around you, because I understand, and we've all probably experienced this, that it's so much more a blessing when I'm able to give than I am to receive. So the second reason why we give is straight out of the Macedonians playbook is that God instructed it. God told us to give. God himself asked me to do it. So think about it like this. The one that I claim that I'm surrendered to says, hey, Bobby, I want you to live a generous life. I want you to give. I want you to help. I want you to serve. I want you to love. And so why do I need to be a giver? Because God asked me to. The same God who, the most famous Bible verse we all know, for God so loved the world that he, y'all don't know that verse? Yeah, y'all know that one? That was a new verse? That for me makes it simple. That for me right there makes it real. Jesus has done for me more than I will ever be able to repay him, but I'm going to live this life doing all that I can to give just like he gave for me. So why do I give? Because God asked me to do something that he modeled so well. Number three. Now this might sound a little self-serving, but stay with me here, okay? To position myself for God's protection and God's blessing. Why do I give? Because I want to position myself. You realize that you can put yourself in positions for God to favor you. You can put yourself in places. I want to give God every reason in the world to bless City Hope Church. I want to give God every reason in the world. I want to honor him. I want to worship him with total abandonment. I want to preach his word. I want to pray. I want to fast. I want to do everything that I can so that we as a church, as God's people, would be able to receive his blessings. I want God to pour out his blessings on us. It's such an amazing thing. This week, as I'm finishing up, it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm finishing up and I'm thinking about, man, I want to do all that we can. I'm reading this and I'm writing this and I want God to pour out his blessings. I text Pastor Joe and I was like, hey, I really want to do that song, Fall Like Rain, this week. All right? And I don't ever pick the songs, do I? I mean, you've been here a year. I might have picked three the whole time. I let him do that. And I said, I just really feel like we need to do that because that's what we're asking God for. Like, fall on us. We want your presence. And he immediately picks up his phone and he calls me back. He goes, you're not gonna believe this. it's already on the planning center. And church, I want God to pour out his blessing. I want God to fall like rain. So I want to put us in positions. I want to encourage you. I want to, you know, do it in my own house, that God would pour out his protection and his blessings on us. But I want you to see this. If we can put ourselves in positions for God's favor, guess what that also means? We can take ourselves out of receiving God's blessings and God's favor. Watch this. Go to the Old Testament passage real quick. It'll be here on the screen. You don't have to turn there. But in the Old Testament, God left the children of Israel, his people. You know why? Because they left him. Look what Malachi chapter 3 verse 7 says. Ever since the time of your ancestors, look, you have turned away from my decrees and you've not kept them. And now here's God saying, I want you to return to me and then I will return to you. For some of you, that's your word today. For some of you, that's why you're sitting here today. God is speaking to you and he's saying, hey, return to me and I'll return to you. Come back to me. Get back on the right path. You've drifted. You're beginning to drift. Maybe you've been in a long drift. But God's saying, hey, it's time to come back to me. And watch this. Look what they ask him. Look how they respond to what God says. But you ask, well, how are we going to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask me. Look at this. This is God talking. You rob me, but you ask me, well, how am I robbing you? And look what he says. In your tithes and in your offerings. How am I robbing God? Because I'm not living the generous life that he's called me to live. Now, again, today, understand this. that this whole series has been about you becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ, right? And some of us, man, we got the scripture time down, and we got our prayer time down, and we serve pretty good, but there's just some areas in our life, and maybe this is one of them, that you've robbed God, you've walked away from God. And look what he says in verse 9 here to the children of Israel. You're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God's telling the children of Israel, and I think the promise still stands for you and I today. He's saying, I'll show you. Test me. I'll show you. I'll give you so much blessing. You position yourself, and I'll show you that I will be faithful. And maybe, I hope and I pray, and I know some of you in here, you're experiencing God's faithfulness right now because you've been faithful. You have strived to continue to put yourself in positions, and maybe today is just an encouragement for you to keep going, for you not to stop putting yourself in places where God can bless you. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure will be poured into your lap. Listen, I'm not a mathlete, but this is kingdom math, okay? This is really kingdom math. You release, God multiplies. I release, God multiplies. So why do we give? Why do we give? To position ourselves for God's blessing and God's favor. Now, honestly, I thought of, I don't know, probably 10 more of these of why we can give. And I could sit up here for a long time to talk about why we can give. I want you to give because you believe in the vision of City Hope Church. I want you to give because you believe what Jesus says when he says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against us. I want you to give because you found a local body that you can get in behind the vision of, right? I want you to give because I want you to have live a generous life because this is your spiritual family. And you love your spiritual family. And when you come into a church family, it's a covenant. It's not just this something that I do once or twice a month. It's a covenant with the people around you saying, you know what? We're gonna do this together. Romans chapter 12 says, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other. All of us, each of us needs each other. I want you to give because you want to be faithful to God. We're family. We're gonna do more together than we can ever do by ourselves. But the last one, the one that I just really felt like that I wanted you to walk out of here thinking about today. Why do I give? Why do I need to live a generous life? My time, my gifts, my heart, my life, why? Because one day, I want to hear God look at me in the face and say, well done. Can you imagine that day? I don't know what it's going to look like. But I know myself. And I know when I see Jesus, I got a lot of questions. But also, I got a lot of things that I just want to thank you for. I mean, just think about it for a second. I really want to hear Jesus say, Bobby, man, I've given you a lot in that life. Given you salvation. Gave you an amazing wife and family. Gave you an amazing church family. Gave you some really good looks. But I want to be able to hear God say, and you used it all really well. can't wait for that day, because something that all of us have a desire in our heart is to be loved, to be accepted, to be approved. And I can't wait that I get to stand before Jesus. And I hope that my life looked enough like his, enough like he called me to live, so that he'll look at me and say, I'm proud of you, Bobby. I'm proud of you. That's why we give. Why do I want to follow the way that God's called me to live and not the way the world's called me to live? Because I want to prepare for that day. I want to prepare for that day when I'm able to see my Savior face to face. He says, Bobby, you kept first things first. Ask you today just to bow your heads. Let's take just a minute. I know we all got things going on. We'll go get our kids and we'll go to lunch after we all stay and tear down, but we'll do all that later. But can I just ask you this morning, would you take just a little bit of self-inventory, not the people around you, but you? And here's the question. Am I currently living at the level of generosity that God wants me to live? That's nothing to do with City Hope Church. That's nothing to do with Haiti. And am I, every day when I get up, am I living at the level of generosity that God calls me to live? There's two answers, yes or no. If you find yourself answering, you know what, I think I am. I think I'm being obedient. Then here's what I want to encourage you to do today. Right now, would you just pray and ask God to continue that boldness, to continue that courage? Ask him if he wants you to take a step, to take it a step further. Ask him to just protect you from the enemies, from the lies, from the hurt, from the struggle, anything that the devil can use to prevent you from living that generous life. But for those of us that maybe said, you know what, I've allowed my circumstances, or I've allowed my bad choices, or I've allowed other things to keep me. And today you're just being honest and you're saying, you know what, I'm probably not living at the level of generosity that God calls me to. I just want to ask you today just to bow your head and spend a moment with the Lord and saying, God, give me the courage, give me the boldness to live how you've called me to live. Take what the poor Macedonian churches did. Take that example and apply it to your life. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, none of this probably makes a lot of sense. But you can take that step today. Pastor Bobby, I don't know about all this giving and these churches and you know all of this stuff, because I've never surrendered. I mean, I just kind of live for myself. And if God's speaking to your heart, the Holy Spirit's stirring something inside of you, and you're just like, man, I got questions. That's the Holy Spirit. And let me encourage you today. I'm not going to command you. I'm not going to come to you. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what God's asking you. And so if you need somebody to pray with you, you need somebody to talk with you, you got questions, as soon as this service is over, come grab me by the hand. Come grab one of our pastors. Come grab one of our prayer team members in the back. Man, something's stirring in me, and I need to get this settled before I leave. Whatever it is, would you? you say yes? Maybe you realize today you haven't positioned yourself for God's blessing. You've been asking for it, you've been praying for it, but the reality is you haven't positioned yourself for it. Your first things first are last things. And God's trying to help you today and speaking to your heart about the order. That's what I want to get right. Let's get the order right, church. Whatever it is, whatever God's speaking to you about, would you say yes? Would you be obedient, Father? Only because of you, only because of your radical generosity are we able to even fathom what that looks like. And so God, today we humbly say thank you. We humbly just come before you and ask you to show us the places where we're closed off to being obedient to you. If our finances is one of them, show us. Reveal that to us. If our time is one of them, show. If our gifts are one, show us, God, that we may live a life of generosity in the way that you've called us to live, that people would know we're different because of our relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Draw us to you. It's in your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. I want to ask our ushers to make their way forward as we prepare for our tithes and our offerings for today. And just a quick thank you. So many of you are so faithful to giving, and you know, we don't get to do what we do. We don't get to go to Haiti. We don't get to serve people. We don't get to do all that we do without your generosity. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being willing. Thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. Let me pray for our offering. Father, bless this time as we give back to you. Multiply it, God. This is just us saying thank you. This is us saying, you know, I want to be obedient. And Lord, I pray that we would steward this very well, that you would give us mission and ministry and people and opportunities to show your love through the gifts and resources you provide us, and help us to just give through your church. Your church is the plan for the world. And so, God, we just want to carry out that plan. And thank you, Lord. I pray your blessing on every person that gives. From the smallest to the largest, does not matter. I pray for a blessing on every single person. Use it like only you can. In Jesus' name. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.